Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
Good morning, friends. What a special morning this is with the baby dedications, and you can tell it is a full room, so thanks for squeezing in, making room, and for the families who are here to join us, we're so glad that you're here. If we have not met, my name is Chandler, and I'm the interim pastor here at the Gospel Church, and we're thankful that you guys have joined us. Every time that we gather, we do so with one purpose, and that is to lift up the name of Jesus, and we're glad that you guys have gathered with us to do just that. Now, as you just saw, baby dedications, there were many lining this stage, and that is a wonderful thing. One of the sayings in the church world is, if you don't hear crying, your church is dying. So I think we're in good shape here, right? And if you've been around for a little bit, you know that the infant and newborn rooms in Gospel Kids have been growing, and we are just so excited for what the Lord's doing there and thankful for the way that He is blessing our church in that way. Well, today we are continuing our series called Heroes of the Faith. And if you have been with us the past few weeks, even the last month, you know that this series is all about faith. And we're asking the question, what does it mean to live by faith? And looking at some of the most famous heroes in the Bible and seeing what we can learn from them about when it comes to faith. In the last 2 weeks, we had a few guest preachers join us and continue the series. 2 weeks ago, Barnabas Piper opened up Hebrews 11 and looked at the faith and life of Abraham. Then last week, another one of my good buddies, Jake Bishop, opened up the Word and looked at the life of David and what that looks like for us to overcome anxiety with when it comes to faith. And then today, we come to maybe one of the most important characters in all of history, secular biblical history, and that is Moses. So if you have a copy of the Scriptures with you today, and I hope that you do, you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We haven't left this chapter for the past month. If you do not have a Bible, you can find one at the end of your row, and feel free to take that one with you. That is our gift to you. And as we have said every single week of this series, this great chapter is known as the faith chapter. Some call it the Hall of Faith, the Faith Hall of Fame. And because of this, we're taking a tour of this chapter and exploring what it means to live by faith. And the very first verse of Hebrews chapter 11 gives us the clearest definition of faith in the entire Bible. And here's what it says. It says, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So verse 1 frames up everything else that comes after it. And he gives the definition, and the author knows that a definition alone isn't always the most helpful. And he says, hey, the way, maybe for you guys, I learned this way, it's like, I need some examples of what you're talking about here. So he follows the definition up with 16 different examples from the Old Testament about what it looks like to live by faith. And he's documenting this, and he's saying, hey, here are Old Testament heroes to instruct New Testament Christians on what it means to live by faith. And in each of their examples, we see that faith led them to trust God with their actions. And I've said this every single week that I've preached in this chapter. If you skim through this, you're going to see the same two words appear 22 times. And those two words are by faith. Almost every single sentence in this, it seems, is by faith. And those two words are always followed by a verb. And that's because he's saying living by faith calls us to action. And this great chapter was given to us to spur us along to live by faith and take actions of faith. So the question that we've been asking in response to all of this is this. For ourselves, God, what are you calling me to do? God, what are you calling me to do? This chapter wasn't just given to us so we can sit there and applaud and go, wow, these heroes of the faith, they did some great things. But it was given to us to encourage us to take those steps of faith as well, to encourage us along. And today, we come to one of the most documented characters in the whole Bible with Moses. Other than Jesus and David, Moses is given the most airtime in all of Scripture. And we don't have time to cover all of his story. If you guys would be here a lot longer than you probably want to be if we did. But we are going to try to highlight his life and look at one of the key themes that the author is trying to hone in on here. So with that, let us read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. And here's what God's word says. By faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach of for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. And when the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. Now, these seven verses give us a really quick overview of the life of Moses. His whole life spans four chapters at the beginning of the book of the Bible. It's from Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is his whole life. So we don't have time to cover all of this. But what they're doing, the author's doing here is giving us an overview. And he starts not with Moses' life, but he actually starts with his parents. And we'll come back to that in a minute. And then it takes us up to the Exodus from Egypt and then for them crossing the Red Sea. And of course, there is a lot that happens after this as well. The wandering in the desert for 40 years, the Ten Commandments going up on Mount Sinai, and so much more. But the author is trying to get at a theme in Moses' life when it comes to faith. And here's the theme that we see, and this is going to be the main idea that we're unpacking today when it comes to the life of Moses, and it's this. A life defined by living by faith is made up of choices of trusting God. A life defined by living by faith is made up of choices of trusting God. And in the life of Moses, we see this on display all over. If you're like me, if you chose at the beginning of the year to read through the Bible with the Bible reading plan, you have probably been reading through the life of Moses over the past few weeks. And for me, what has jumped off the page as I have been reading about the life of Moses is that he made choices of faith over and over again. It's amazing. And his life was defined by stepping out and trusting God. And that's what living by faith comes down to, making choices of trusting God more than yourself. And the reality is, life is all about making decisions. Life is a series of choices. Some of them are obvious and easy, and others are more difficult and costly. Now, this may overwhelm you to hear this, but research shows that the average adult makes 35,000 decisions a day. That's a lot. And not to place too much emphasis on every decision in your life, but one author wrote, life is a sum of all of your choices. All the choices you make come together to make your unique life. And honestly, I'll admit, even as I read that, I was like, man, I feel like that's boiling it down into too simplistic of terms. So there is some leeway in that. But the reality is our choices do make up who we are. Just think about this. If you went to college, your choice of college shapes you. And when you were in college, you chose a major, maybe a few of them. You cycled through a few. But when you chose that major, it led you on a path towards a career. So if you said, hey, I want to major in accounting, that led you down the road to become an accountant, right? If you chose to move to Nashville, that was a big decision for you. That changed the trajectory of your life. That led you to this great city. That led you to deal with all the traffic that comes with that. That allowed you to meet some new friends. That also led you to be in this room today. And then tomorrow, if you decided that you wanted to go do CrossFit, that would mean that you would now be a CrossFit athlete. If you decided to go open your own business, that means you would become an entrepreneur. All this to say, our life is a sum of choices. Our choices shape our lives. And when it comes to our relationship with God, our choices must be shaped by faith and trusting in God. So we have 35,000 decisions to make a day. The question is how many of those are we trusting God for? Now, deciding between Chick-fil-A nuggets or a salad at lunch is not exactly the choice I'm talking about with like having trust in God. Maybe that's the case. But what I'm talking about is more of What it comes down to, are you going to trust God and make a choice to trust him with your finances? Are you going to trust him when it comes to your dating life or your marriage or parenting or your career path? What does it look like for you to make that choice? And we have choices to trust God every single day. And if we want to be people who live by faith and our life is defined by living by faith, then we have to trust God with these decisions and step out and trust him over and over again. A life defined by living by faith is made up of small and big choices of trusting God. So before we jump into looking at the life of Moses, let me just ask all of us this question. Do a little self-evaluation here. Are the choices you are making in your life adding up to a life of faith? Are the choices that you are making in your life adding up to a life of faith? For Moses, they absolutely did. And we see that documented here. And in this overview of his life in seven verses, we see three choices that he made that allow us to see what it looks like for us to make choices of trusting God. So let's jump in and look at three choices of faith in this passage from the life of Moses. And here's the first one. Moses's parents chose to trust God and gave him an example of faith. Moses' parents chose to trust God and gave him an example of faith. Now, I love that this section doesn't start with Moses. It starts with his parents. Look at Hebrews 11:23. It says, by faith, Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they didn't fear the king's edict. So Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, chose to trust God even when they didn't know the outcome. If you're unfamiliar with the story of Moses, or maybe it's been a little bit since you have read the story, let me just remind you of the setting that Moses was born into. He was born at a pretty unfortunate time. The Israelites, they'd been living in Egypt for a period of time, and they had favor because Joseph had found favor in the eyes of Pharaoh. And then, at the end of Genesis, it says that Joseph passed away. And at the beginning of the book of Exodus, all of a sudden you see that a new Pharaoh has come into leadership who does not show the Israelites favor, but instead he looks at them as a threat because there are so many of them, and he enslaves them and oppresses them. And because of this, he forced the Israelites to work as slaves, and eventually he made an evil command that effectively ordered all Hebrew baby boys to be who were born to be killed. Exodus 1:22, he made a decree. He said, you must throw every son born to the Hebrews into the Nile, but let every daughter live. And it's right at this time that Moses is born. And it says in Exodus chapter 2 that when he was born, Moses' mother hid him and protected him. And when she couldn't hide him anymore, she made a little boat, she placed him in it, and then placed him in the reeds beside the Nile River. But he didn't stay there long. As the story goes, Pharaoh's daughter comes by and discovers the baby and decides she wants to take it in. And actually, at the same time, Moses' older sister Miriam had run to the river as well to see what was going on with her mom, leaving her baby brother behind. And as she's watching this, she sees an opportunity. So Pharaoh's daughter needs a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby. Miriam sees this and she runs back to her mom, says, Mom, you got to come with me. You won't believe what just happened. Brings her to Pharaoh's daughter, and guess what? Not only does she get to see that her baby boy is alive and well, but she gets paid to nurse and care for her baby boy. Now, not every situation of stepping out and trusting God is going to end with this type of happy ending, right? But because they had faith, God rewarded them, and Moses' parents decided to step out in faith, and Moses' life was spared because of that. They made a choice. And it says here in Hebrews 11:23 that because they saw that the child was beautiful, they didn't fear the king's edict. They chose to live by faith in fear of God and not in fear of man. And this choice was one of faith. If they were discovered, not only would their baby boy be taken away and killed, but they would also lose their lives as well. But they said, the risk is worth it. We know that we need to make this choice. And for me, as I've just been kind of studying this passage, I was thinking this week, this really hit me hard. It says that Moses was 3 months old in this passage. We just brought our daughter, Mary Camden, up here, and she is right around that age. She's just a little bit over 3 months old. As I'm reading this, I'm just placing myself in their shoes, and I'm thinking, I can't imagine what that would be like. To think, we've got to hide her and hope that nobody sees her. And then when she's at that age where we feel like we can't hide her anymore, I can't even imagine the emotions that came to placing her in a little boat in a river and just hoping that God would take care of her. It took guts. And that's exactly what Moses' parents did. They said, we don't know how this is going to end, but we're trusting you in the midst of this, God. And they give us a picture of what faith looks like, but even more so, they gave Moses, their son, a picture and example of what faith looked like in his life. And what better message to hear on a Sunday where we just dedicated all these babies to the Lord than this story right here. So parents, please hear me when I say this. You are setting the example for your children. What you do matters. What you model for them matters. The decisions that you make matter. And as a parent, you can instill faith into your children by the choices that you make that they get to see. Now, hear me out. I am 3 months into this parenting thing. We actually say, hey, we are more into the stage of keeping her alive than trying to instill character, okay? So let me bring in a more seasoned parent into this, okay? So Paul Tripp, he's a pastor who wrote a phenomenal book on parenting called Parenting. Pretty creative title there, right? Here's what he said. He said, your work as a parent is a thing of extreme value because God has designed that you would be a principal, consistent, and faithful tool in his hands for the purpose of creating God consciousness and God submission in your children. You can't create this yourself. Only God can. But you have been appointed to be an irreplaceable tool in his powerful hands. God has given you the incredible responsibility to be a tool to instill faith into the life of your child. Now, notice he says a tool here. It's not all up to you. Your job is to set the example, to share with them who God is, but faith in God comes from God alone. So don't feel like it's all on you and it's all your responsibility and all on your shoulders. He's saying you are a tool in the powerful hands of the Creator. But it does mean that you are to set an example in your home for them to see what it looks like to live by faith and pursue the Lord. So when parents display choices to their children of faith, it creates an environment where they can grow and see what faith looks like. So hear me when I say this. Mom and dad, we're talking about heroes of the faith here. You are the greatest hero of the faith that your child will ever see. You are setting the example in your home for what that looks like. So even this morning, if you were on this stage, I'm including myself in this, do not take that responsibility lightly. And for Moses, he saw his parents make a choice of faith that changed every aspect of his life. It was that decision that allowed him to do everything else in his life. So that's the first choice that we see that sets up everything else. The second choice we see is this, is that Moses chose to suffer with God's people over the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses chose to suffer with God's people over the fleeting pleasures of sin. So at this point, we jump ahead in the story of Moses' life 40 years, and here's what it says about the choice Moses made in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. Now, notice how in verse 24 it starts out. I find it interesting that it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up. As much faith as Moses had, he's 40 years old here. He didn't grow up until he was 40. There was a lot of maturing that needed to happen. There was a lot of wisdom that needed to happen. He was adopted into royalty. There was probably some spoiledness that needed to be brought out of him. And you kind of even see that as you read through Exodus in his life. But he had some maturing to do, and that led him to then be able to make a choice of faith when he's 40 years old. He has this huge decision to make. We don't know the details of why, but he had a decision to make here. Let's just put ourselves into his shoes for a little bit, okay? Moses was a man who was given great advantages in his life. Because he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, he was the adopted grandson of the ruler of the world's most powerful, wealthiest, and advanced country of the time. So he had wealth, power, and prestige, everything you could imagine. And he was faced with this huge turning point, this fork in the road. He had to choose between two completely different lives. A life where he stayed in the palace and could have eventually been in line to be the next pharaoh with unlimited power and wealth. And then also choosing between a life of leaving all that behind and choosing to suffer with God's people and lead them out of Egypt. It's a pretty big decision. And his choice was between the temporary fleeting pleasures of Egypt and the eternal everlasting rewards of heaven. The Bible tells us that Moses chose in faith and he chose wisely. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. So here's Moses, the prime of his life, has this decision to make. When the pleasures of the world would have been so attractive, when gaining popularity, man, his career path was going to just jump right up. There was no question that it would be up and to the right. He's looking at this, and it says, by faith, Moses refused, chose, and left the palace. He made the choice to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So, think about this decision. He's living in the White House with the palace. A good example of this would be the White House. The White House wasn't around in Egypt, okay? He's living in there. He has everything you could imagine. And he looks out the front and he looks over and he sees the camp of the Israelites where they're enslaved and oppressed. And he decides to step off of the palace and to go to the suffering of his people. And if you want a picture of Jesus, here it is. Now notice that it says if Moses stayed, he would be choosing the fleeting pleasures of sin over the eternal reward of heaven. Two things that we can note from this right here. Number one, Scripture is telling us that sin is pleasurable and fun. That might sound weird to hear from the Bible. You're like, oh, that's in the Bible? Didn't know that verse. It's right here. Pastor Tony Evans once said, if you don't think sin is fun, you aren't sinning right. Sin is pleasurable and fun. That's why it's tempting. That is why it is our flesh's desire. It's our default because we know that there are pleasures there. But the second thing that we need to know is that there is a massive caveat to this sentence. And it's this. Scripture also tells us that sin is pleasurable and fun, but it's fleeting. It's only a temporary pleasure. And as another pastor put it, there may be pleasure in sin for a season, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And if Moses was making this choice based upon what would be easier, what would be more fun, what would be more pleasurable, he would have stayed in the palace. That was the decision to make if he was making it in that way. But Moses was not making a decision based upon temporary pleasure, he had eternity in mind. Look at verse 26. He says, for he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since he was looking ahead to the reward. Moses made his choice by faith, not by what was easiest, not by what was the most comfortable, but it was by faith. And in Moses' day, the Egyptians were persecuting the people of God, the Israelites. So for him to stay in the palace, that would have been sin. He would have been choosing temporary blessing over the way of suffering, which even though it was going to be painful for the short term, was going to have a reward in the long term. And Moses made a choice to trust God and follow the path of suffering with the people of God in order to flee from sin. So here's what that means for us. If we desire to live by faith in the same way that Moses did, here's what it means. Living by faith means making choices with eternal reward in mind, not temporary pleasures and comfort. It's a little tough to swallow. But living by faith means making choices with eternal reward in mind, not temporary pleasures and comfort. Choices of faith mean choosing short-term suffering for long-term reward, not settling for the fleeting pleasures of sin and comfort, but making decisions for eternal pleasure of obedience. Moses understood that, and he sets the example for us in this, in his choice to leave the palace and to go suffer with the people of God. That's the second choice we see, and that actually leads him to the third choice that he makes. And here it is. Moses chose to trust God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He chose to trust God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Look at Hebrews 11, 27 through 29. Here's what it says. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. Now, really quick, notice it says he was not afraid of the king's anger. Does that sound familiar? If you go back up, you see that's almost the exact same line of his parents, of their choice of faith. He was able to have this type of faith because his parents did not fear the king's edict. He saw what this looked like, and he saw that God would come through for him. And then Moses, he had to take this, and he had to make it his own. He had to take his own step of faith, and Moses chose to leave Egypt and lead the Israelites out, even when Pharaoh's wrath was coming for him. And it all started with God calling Moses to trust him. So God first calls Moses to this task by speaking to him at the burning bush, and here's what it says in Exodus chapter 3. So because the Israelites' cry for help has come to me, this is God speaking to Moses, and I have also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, therefore go. I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh, so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, to this, Moses had many questions, and he actually asked some of those to God in the dialogue, but even with the questions, he said, I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey you. And he went back to Egypt, and he goes before Pharaoh, and as I was preparing for this, I was just thinking, he lived 40 years in this place, and he's going back asking to leave. He goes before Pharaoh, and he says, will you let God's people go so that they can worship God? And Pharaoh says, no. Says his heart was hardened. Not only did he say no, he said, tell you what, I'm actually going to oppress the Israelites even more because you asked. So Moses has to go back to the Israelites and be like, I'm sorry for that, guys. Made things a lot worse. I thought God was calling me to this. I'm not exactly sure what this looks like. And he has to be doubting, why in the world has God sent me back here? But God reaffirmed this in him, and he spoke to him again. He says, I want you to go back before Pharaoh. I'm going to perform signs for Pharaoh to convince him to let my people go so that they can worship God away from here. And these signs, of course, if you've read the story, these are the 10 plagues that were brought upon Egypt. But once again, those were 10 plagues. It wasn't one plague. He didn't go before Pharaoh and God just instantly go, I'm letting you out of here. It was 10 different times. And each time it said Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he did not let the Israelites go. You think on the fifth or sixth time, Moses is like, hey, God, I don't really want to do this again. I've seen you do this. I'm not sure if this is going to work. I'm not sure if this is going to play out the way you think it is. There had to be some doubting when he's going before Pharaoh, but he just keeps going and going and trusting God. And then in Exodus 11 and 12, we find that the 10th plague is the death of the firstborn. And coinciding with that is the Passover. The 10th plague was that God was going to come and kill the firstborn in every home that did not have the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And Moses hears this, and he has to go back before the Israelites. Remember, he's not really on good standing with all those guys. And he goes before him and says, hey, trust me on this one, though. If we just kill some lambs and we place the blood over the doorpost, God is going to pass over our home. And it had to sound a little crazy, but the Israelites did trust him. Moses trusted God in this, and we know that the Passover did happen, and because of that, that was the last straw, and finally Pharaoh said, fine, I'll let you go. Go worship God. You guys can leave Egypt, and as soon as they leave Egypt, Pharaoh has a change of heart once again, and he decides to send his army after Moses and the Israelites, and when they finally get there, they catch up to them. Moses and the Israelites have their back against the wall. The only escape route is the Red Sea that is behind him. And once again, Moses has a moment to choose to trust God. And God spoke to him and told him, once again, trust me here. I am going to part the sea for you, and you all are going to walk across on dry ground. Hebrews 11:29 says, by faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. There's a whole lot more to the story after this, but this is where it stops. And what the goal of this is to show us that Moses made choices to trust God time and time again. And each time he did, he saw that God was faithful. And I believe we find the key to this type of faith in verse 27 when it says, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. Moses could not see how any of these situations were going to play out. He didn't know the outcome. He couldn't see God who is invisible, but he lived his life and made choices of faith as if he was seeing God before him, as if he could see the invisible. And even though he couldn't see God, he trusted God. Even though he wasn't exactly sure where or when his foot was going to land, he took the step of faith and trusted that God would place it where he wanted him to place it. And he puts Hebrews 1 into action, and he had assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. This is the calling of the Christian life. We see this twice in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Then again in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And here's what that means for those who are wanting to live by faith this morning. Our faith comes by fixing our eyes on him who is invisible. Not on the circumstances that are in front of us, not on ourselves, but fixing our eyes on him who is faithful time and time again. And we can live by faith because we have seen that God is faithful over and over again. Our choices of faith are not rooted in ourselves, but they're rooted in his faithfulness. We live by faith because of his character, his track record, his faithfulness. And Moses kept growing in faith because he kept making choices of faith. I've said this before, but let me say it again. Faith is like a muscle. When we use it, it grows. And we need to use it so that it grows. And for Moses, he sees him who is invisible and takes steps of faith because he has experienced what it's like for God to be faithful to him and to come through for him. So for those of us in this room who would raise our hand, we say, you know what? I want to be someone who my life is defined by living by faith. I want to make choices of living by faith. Let me just say this. It starts with the greatest decision that you can ever make, and that is fixing your eyes on Jesus and not yourself. Making the decision that Jesus would be your Lord and Savior, not yourself. Because here's what's incredible about this story. All of this is pointing to Jesus. Moses is a picture of who Jesus is, and later we will have the greater Moses. About 1,400 years after the story of Moses, watch this. Jesus was born of parents who made a choice to trust God. Jesus would ultimately leave not the palace of Egypt, but his throne in heaven to come to earth, to choose to suffer on a cross in his people's place, so that he could give them life, all for the purpose to deliver them out of the slavery and bondage of sin. In this story, we see the picture of Jesus. And for Moses, it says he was able to make these choices of faith because he set his eyes on the reward that was ahead. For us and all of us, the way that we make choices of faith, just like Moses does and his parents did, is that we fix our eyes not on our circumstances, not on ourselves, but we fix our eyes on Jesus. That is the greatest picture of God's faithfulness that we could ever see. So this morning, I just want to invite you, if maybe it's for the first time, you want to fix your eyes on Jesus and you say, Lord, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Or maybe it's for the thousandth time and you say, you know what? I've been fixing my eyes on myself, and when it comes to choices in my life, I'm making them when it comes to the pleasures of sin and comfort, and I'm trying to live in my own ways, but Lord, I want to make choices for you. I want to take steps of faith and obedience for you. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus to see his faithfulness time and time again. He will come through for us. Let me pray for us.